ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
The Jews who have come to accuse him to understand, look, even though I came to Christ, even though I'm a Christian, it didn't mean I worshiped a different God than the God of their fathers. He worshiped the God of their fathers, but in a new and living way. Because the only acceptable way to worship the Father is through Jesus Christ. His faith was still founded in the Old Testament scriptures because they bore witness to Jesus. And Paul's saying, you know, that all he is guilty of is believing all that the scriptures are saying. All the scriptures are teaching us. He didn't just pick and choose what he wanted. And he turns really the tables on these religious leaders saying, look, I'm not a heretic. But they are. Why? Because they don't believe the scriptures, which testify of Jesus. When Jesus, in John chapter 5, spoke to the Jewish religious leaders, he said, look, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Exactly. If they would have looked at the scriptures, even today they struggle in this area. You know, you try to show them Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, speaking of the Messiah. And they say, no, that's speaking of the Jews. But when have the Jews ever been able to atone for our sins? They can't even atone for their own sins. They need a Messiah. They need Jesus. Something that Tertullius left out was the reason Paul was in Jerusalem was to bring gifts from the Gentile Christian churches to the Jews who were suffering in Jerusalem. He wasn't there to cause a riot or to cause trouble. He was trying to help his fellow Jews. And Paul just says, hey, look, where are the guys that brought these charges against me? The Jews from Asia that came to Jerusalem for Pentecost. Where are they? If they had a problem with me, why aren't they here? They weren't. Paul says, look, if I did something wrong, tell me. But I didn't. I believe in the resurrection, just like the Pharisees believe. Yeah, okay, the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection life. But the Pharisees do. So why is this an issue? That's the hope of the Jewish people. Job tells us, for I know that my Redeemer lives. And he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Isn't that interesting? He's talking about after he's dead, after his skin is destroyed. What does he say? This I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. He's talking about resurrection life. The oldest book, I believe, in the scriptures, Job. Yeah, we have the history from Genesis from the beginning, but Job is the oldest book. And he spoke of resurrection life. Isaiah 26:19, your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Again, resurrection life. The Jews who are coming against Paul here tried to make this a political issue because they knew if this was a religious issue, Rome wouldn't buy it. There would be no charges. It would just be done away with. This had to be a political issue. It had to be something against Rome for Paul to be in trouble, to either be arrested or put to death. But Paul basically turned it back and said, this is a religious issue, guys. This is not a political issue. I didn't do anything against Rome. This is Jewish theology. As we're reading this case, okay, you've got Felix there. You've got the Jews, the Pharisees, the religious leaders from Jerusalem coming there to Caesarea. Tertullius is there. Ananias the high priest is there. Who's missing? Do you ever think about that? Who's missing in this group? Where's the church? Where is it? The church. The ones who were there that told Paul to do the things that he was doing. Why aren't they there? Because they became the frozen chosen. They didn't get involved at all. They just let Paul be on his own. How sad. Remember, they were struggling with legalism. They were brought up with the Jewish law, and it was hard for them to break away. Even these believers were struggling with issues. What's interesting is these Jewish religious leaders who wanted Paul to be put to death didn't let anything stop them from going to Caesarea, traveling those 60 or 65 miles. And some, like I said, some of that area was dangerous to travel on. But the church wasn't there. And I think, boy, Lord, help us to be there for our brothers and sisters who are going through difficult times, to encourage them. Because they need it. I mean, we all need it, don't we? From time to time, we're going through some heavy stuff. And it's so nice to have a brother or sister in the Lord saying, you know, I've been praying for you. The Lord put that upon my heart to pray for you. You know, that just lifts your spirits, doesn't it? Well, God cares about me. He put this brother or this sister upon their heart to pray for me. And that's what we need. But for here, Paul, he's on his own. Look at verse 22. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. Make no mistake about it. Felix is stalling here. This is stall tactics. Lysias, the commander, sent a letter explaining everything. He didn't need to come down to Caesarea. And you think about how many opportunities did Felix have as he spent time with Paul, and he never received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he's spending eternity in hell apart from him because he put it off. Paul here is under house arrest. He had freedom to see his friends, and I guess Felix had to know he was innocent. There were no charges. Why didn't he let him go? Because he wanted to stay in good with Rome and he wanted to stay good with the Jews. Sitting on the fence, it doesn't really work. And maybe, you know, the friends that visited Paul while he was there those 2 years, maybe Philip who lived there, Luke probably, maybe some others. But again, where was the church in Jerusalem? Paul brought them gifts to help them out, not there. And I think, you know, for us, you can't sit on a fence. You have to take a stand. The fence is pointy. Good luck sitting on it, right? You have to decide what you're going to take a stand on. May it be the truths of God found in the Word of God. It's really simple. You know, so many people are swayed by the winds of doctrine that blow through the church. And isn't it amazing what's going through the church today? And yet, you know, it's so easy when you hear what people are bringing in. Isn't it easy to see it goes against what the scriptures are saying. Pastor Jeff from Calvary Chapel of Madison was, I think it was today I was listening to him, was talking about, you know, if anyone came in to their church and brought in false doctrine, they said they would be gone immediately because our people wouldn't put up with it. They said, well, that's not what the Bible says. Yeah, praise God. That's the way it should be, right? Someone's bringing you false doctrine and go, well, where do you get that? I don't see it here. And I'll tell you, false doctrine will continue to blow through the church. And if you know the Word of God, because you're not going to know every false doctrine that's out there, and there always will be new stuff. If you know the Word of God, it's exposed immediately. And I try to share with you what's going on in the church in general today. But again, you know the truth. It sets you free from the lies that are out there. To me, it's, you know, it's as simple as that. And especially today, stand up for the truths of God found in the Word of God. You know, Jude wrote that he wants us to earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. It's a battle, right? If you're contending for the faith that God has given to you, that means there's a battle going on. What's the battle against? The lies. It's the truth against the lies. And I think many Christians today don't even care. And that's why you can come into a church. You got to fight. It's amazing what people will fight and argue over. And it's usually about ridiculous things. But when it comes to doctrine, that's what we're to be fighting over. This is what the Bible says. It's not what I believe. It's not what you believe. It's what the scriptures say. It's what Jesus said. Now look at verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." I don't know, whatever reason, maybe curiosity, Felix wanted to hear about Christ from Paul. But he wasn't moved by the message. Why? I think his lifestyle prevented him from coming to Jesus. He was unwilling to change his ways, and he missed these opportunities, and it cost him eternal life with Jesus. Felix and his wife Drusilla. She was the youngest daughter of Herod Agrippa I. We read about him in Acts chapter 12. He's the one who let pride eat away and consume his life. He was eaten by worms and died. She was the third wife of Felix, and because of her beauty, Felix lured her away from her husband, the king of Emesa, located in the province of Syria. She became the wife of Felix when she was 16 years old, and she is also the sister of Herod Agrippa II. And Bernice, mentioned in Acts chapter 25. And as sand through the hourglass, so go the days of our lives, right? Awesome. Oh, you guys, you know that. Yeah, you guys, sorry. I think that was the problem, though. His lifestyle, he didn't want to change, right? And so this Jesus was going to interfere with his life. And Paul's point was simple. His first point was righteousness. Yeah, you guys are not righteous before a holy God. In fact, the Bible says our righteousness, all the good we do, is like filthy rags before him. So we cannot stand before God in our own righteousness. All we can do is stand before him in the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed into our lives by faith. The second point was self-control. And we've seen with the brief description of their lifestyle, they had no self-control. We're going to continue on in sin. And the third point was on the judgment to come. If you don't come to Christ, if you stand in your own righteousness, you'll be under the judgment of God. And his judgment's coming. And Felix trembled at this. He was terrified. What does that tell me? It tells me he was convicted. There was heavy conviction upon the heart of Felix. He was feeling it, man. And what does he do? Go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I'll call for you. I don't want to deal with this. It's too heavy. The claims of Jesus are never convenient for us. If we insist on waiting for a convenient time, we'll wait for eternity. That's what happened to Felix and Drusilla. Very sad. And Paul spoke boldly to people who were living in sin. People who needed Jesus, he didn't pull any punches. And sometimes they turned to Christ, sometimes they didn't. But the conviction was there. Today we want to water down the message and make it more appealing to the masses, but there's no conviction. And there's no coming to Christ. They're comfortable going to hell. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, "Are there not some to be found who think the highest object of the minister is to attract the multitude and then to please them? Oh my God, how solemnly ought each of us to bewail our sin if we feel we have been guilty in this matter. What is it to have pleased men? Is there aught in it that can make our head lie easy on a pillow of our death? Is there aught in it that can give us boldness in the day of judgment when we face thy tribunal, O judge of quick and dead? No, my brethren, we must always take our text so that we may bear upon our hearers with all our might." Absolutely. That's why I teach verse by verse through the Bible, the whole counsel of God. And I think, you know, you found out on Sunday mornings as we're going through the letter of James. That's a tough letter. I mean, every time. I mean, James doesn't pull any punches. He starts out, you know, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials. And from there, it just gets heavier. There's just conviction, conviction, conviction. What do we do with it? Why is God doing that? Because he wants us to be more like him. To see those areas in our life that we need to change. That's so important. Spurgeon also said this. He said, but some men will say, sir, ministers ought not to be personal. Ministers ought to be personal, and they will never be true to their master till they are. But now we poor craven sons of nobodies have to stand and talk about generalities, but we are afraid to point you out and tell you of your sins personally. But blessed be God. From that fear I have been delivered long ago. There walketh not a man on the surface of this earth whom I dare not reprove. Man, what a guy, Spurgeon, man. He says, look, if I see you in sin and I don't tell you about it, something's wrong. We need to proclaim the truths of God found in the Word of God and not be ashamed of it or fearful of what people may think. Now, Paul said, but in 2 Corinthians 6:2, but now is the, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, for Felix, he put it off. And I'm sure he's regretting it now. Look at verse 26. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. The conviction of God is gone in the heart of Felix. He's hardened himself to God. He didn't want to change his lifestyle. And now, hey, you know what? Maybe I can make some money off this guy. Wow. How did he know Paul had any money? Well, you know, maybe he heard about the money he brought to the church in Jerusalem back in verse 17 of Acts 24. Maybe he's got more money. Let me keep going to this guy, see if I can shake him down a little bit. But Paul didn't have any money. He gave it to the church. And so Paul spends 2 years in prison for crimes he didn't commit because Felix wanted to remain in favor with the Jews and really with Rome. And now he's succeeded by Festus. And the reason being is there was a riot in Caesarea that Felix brutally brought to an end. And the Jews were so mad they complained to Emperor Nero. And he recalled Felix back to Rome. And he would have been punished, but because of his brother, who was very influential, he interceded for him and he wasn't. But the biggest tragedy for Felix is he had an opportunity to receive Christ and he refused. And he lived out the rest of his life in disgrace in Rome. Drusilla, his wife, 2 years after this event in Europe on a shopping spree. See, this is a warning for shopping. Those of you who go on shopping sprees. Mount Vesuvius exploded and she died. Talk about your bad days, right? What are the chances? But it did. But they both had the opportunity to hear the gospel message. And they rejected it. Again, Hebrews 3, Paul said, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. They did, and they lost. Well, look at chapter 25. Look at verse 1. Now, when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking him a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. Wow, they really hated Paul, didn't they? So here's this transition from Felix to Festus. Felix, yeah, Felix wasn't a good guy, but Festus, he was a good man, well-liked. He was about 70 years old when he took this position, and he only had it for 2 years before he died in office. And he's not a procrastinator. He took this position seriously. He goes to Jerusalem to meet the people he will be governing only 3 days after he took office. And he meets with the Jewish religious leaders, the high priest and the chief men, and these guys are still speaking against Paul. Think about it. It's been 2 years, and they still can't get Paul out of their minds. Bring him down here. We want to kill this guy, man. This may be another opportunity. how much hatred. How these are the religious people. These aren't criminals. These are supposedly holy men of God, right? The ones who are to represent God have so much hatred that they still want to kill Paul. That's really sad. Poor Festus, he inherited Paul from Felix, right? What baggage that was. Man, this whole legalism thing, this is what was destroying them. They couldn't receive Christ because they couldn't accept grace. But the law is not bad. The law is not evil. The law is perfect. We're bad. That's the problem. We can't keep the law. And, you know, it's amazing, but the Garden of Eden, there was only one command. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I told you this before. And they still failed. So do we think we can do better? We can. Praise God for his amazing grace. We don't deserve it. That's what grace is all about. You can't work for it because then it's not grace. You receive it by faith. And here, these religious leaders, man, the anger, the hatred, they still had. Can you imagine? Day in and day out, they must have been talking about this guy. How are we going to get Paul? And now here's the opportunity. Hey, yeah, bring him down here. We want to see this guy because we want to kill him. Look at verse 4. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man to see if there's any fault in him. I don't know, you know, what made Festus do this, but he said, you know what, we're not going to bring Paul down here. You guys come up to Caesarea. Paul's staying up there. If you have any accusations against him, let's hear him up in Caesarea, and then we'll decide what we're going to do with this guy. Look at verse 6. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. Festus has only been governor for maybe a little more than a few weeks here, and this is a big issue. This is a big deal. And so here's Paul. He's in this auditorium. These accusers are there. Festus sat in the judgment seat. And here's Paul. And they brought serious charges against Paul. What's the key? They had no proof. You would think, okay, we got 2 years to come up with something, right? Do you think they would have had something? Smoking gun. It's kind of like the Russian conspiracy thing in Washington, right? No, sorry. I won't go down that path. None of these charges could be substantiated. They still want Paul put to death, and they know these charges are not true. Again, these are the religious people. And Paul says, look, guys, I'm not coming against the law of the Jews. I'm not coming against the temple, and I'm certainly not coming against Caesar or Rome. I didn't break any laws. Why am I here? And the case should have been closed at this point. Paul should have been set free, but that's not what takes place. Look at throughout the Bible, and we see false accusations against those who love the Lord. We see it with Joseph. We see it with Daniel and others. And God takes care of them as he takes care of us. But let's face it, the enemy wants to destroy our witness. They'll use false accusations. But I love what Revelation 12:10 says. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. The enemy accuses us before the Lord. Think about that. Who's interceding? Jesus. This one is mine. I paid for him. Wow. Who's going to bring a charge against us? They can make all the false accusations they want. But the Lord is there. And let's face it, attacks will come, but we rest in the Lord and we allow him to see us through. You know, Spurgeon put it like this. He said, we ought never to fear those who are defending the wrong side. For since God is not with them, their wisdom is folly, their strength is weakness, and their glory is their shame. Exactly. And this is going out. What's happening to Paul is as God had planned. This is not something that, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? God doesn't say that, okay? This is according to the plan of God. And God is going to move Paul, as we're going to see, from Caesarea eventually to Rome, just as he promised them. Look at verse 9. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things?" Then Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat."
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.